Oh, I repeat it. Of course, of course. Okay, I think the tape recorder is working. Hello, this is Paul Kangas on radio station KPOO. I'm interviewing Mr. Ted Schrock, the famous investigative journalist who first put together most of the best evidence on the Robert Kennedy assassination. Mr. Schrock, can you hear me?
Yes, I certainly can, Paul.
Do I have your permission to tape this program?
Yes, and of course, I'm very happy to talk to you and be recognized by my peers as the father of the Robert Kennedy second gun probe. And all my work now is in Washington, D.C., at the Assassination Archives and Research Center, the Ted Schrock Room.
Uh-huh.
The largest and most comprehensive collection in the world is there. I am holding 9 secret boxes in California, and also I am transporting a great deal of audiovisual material to Prevailing Winds Research in Santa Barbara, the nonprofit institution, which has been disseminating information on my ongoing probe 25 years on June 5th, 1968, although Bobby Kennedy died, as we know, June the 6th, 1968. It'll be 25 years this year.
Right.
So there is a great deal of media attention, and we're focusing on the Robert Kennedy tragedy and its dimensions in relation to events in 1993. We do hope to build a center here, the Robert Kennedy Memorial Center for Enlightenment, with my archives duplicated, which are now at the AARC in Washington, D.C., out here in California. And we are talking about a symposium, incidentally, in the Los Angeles area, and hopefully under your auspices in the San Francisco Bay Area, all the issues relevant to the tragedy of June the 5th, 1968.
Right, right. Hang on 1 second. Let me check the tape to make sure we're continuing. Let's see. What do you suppose in 1993 is the most significant fact of the Robert Kennedy assassination that the media has not gotten out to the public?
Well, I definitely believe not only within California, but nationally, and of course there is international interest in the Robert Kennedy case, the most significant fact is that evidence in the Stellar case was manufactured, destroyed, and suppressed by law enforcement agencies within California, specifically the Los Angeles Police Department, and that there is a wealth of evidence substantiating a cover-up of the ballistics or firearms evidence and an alleged conspiracy in the tragedy of June the 5th, 1968 in the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles, and a conspiracy by law enforcement and those at the helm of all these operations to keep the lid on all the important matters. And that, of course, includes the second gun controversy, which I brought to the forefront and initiated the investigation along journalistic, legal, and forensic avenues, and took the first legal action after 2 years of basic research on who really killed Bobby Kennedy, 1970, 1971, the second legal action in which I issued an extraordinary writ by William Harper, a famous criminalist that substantiated my allegations that there were two 22 caliber guns involved in the assassination, and that Sirhan, Bashar Sirhan, could not have killed Bobby Kennedy, but that Senator Kennedy, on his way, hopefully, to the presidency, seeking the Democratic nomination 25 years ago, of course, was murdered in cold blood by a second gunman. So this is a very important factor. Now, the Los Angeles Police Department is denying that there was a mysterious girl and other conspirators. They've denied this all along, and the special unit senator, the book, that's the task force, that was the name of the book, based on the 47-man task force that the LAPD inaugurated in 1968 to investigate the Bobby Kennedy case, they have firmly denied it. That book was written by the chief of detectives for the case, Robert Houghton.
Mr. Schrock, let me ask, is there any book out that the public might have access to that you would recommend that people read on the case?
Well, I was about to say Chief Davis attacked us brutally, the former police chief of Los Angeles. He said, you know, that I was hallucinating until my attorney got the ethics to quit law and start writing fiction. But he was followed by Chief Gates, the controversial Daryl Gates, who's written a book, and he attacks Mike Bove in his new book. But I would definitely read the book RFK Must Die, RFK Must Die by Robert Blair Kaiser, who was the author and investigator, a chief investigator with Mike McGowan for the original defense team in the trial of Sirhan, Bashar Sirhan, in 1969. Now, he fights me and the second gun probe tooth and nail, and he does everything to undermine the investigation, but his book is well worth reading. There are two or three other books, but unfortunately, they are historically revisionism. It's historical revisionism to the max. It's a great deal of disinformation, and I'm speaking of the film Lancet book and the Mishmash book of Christian Turner. I don't think those books are in circulation now. What I recommend is that everyone who has not seen my film, The Second Gun, the expose, the deadly expose on the Robert Kennedy case, The Second Gun, Who Really Killed Bobby Kennedy, that they get this video, and I guess they can get it through you, Paul, in the San Francisco Bay Area stores now, because this is a classic. This was a film which was nominated for a Golden Globe as the best documentary of the year. But more than that, recognized not only by my peers in the media, but by everyone, by the international community around the world, as the only film of its kind. It's in the documentary genre, but mostly it's a journalistic film. It's a living newspaper. It's a real-life whodunit before your eyes, because there were 2 years of basic research in which I worked on tapes, and incidentally, I'm going to release my suppressed tapes on Who Really Killed Bobby Kennedy, and then with the late filmmaker, journalist, filmmaker Gerard L. Kahn, he produced, working day and night with me, The Second Gun. So it was Gerard's phenomenal talents working with me based on my probe that we were able to get this colossal film that the public wants. Prevailing Winds Research of Santa Barbara. I think your listeners might want to reach Patrick Fermi. He has all kind of material on the Robert Kennedy case and other assassinations and cover-ups at 805-569-3333. 805-569-3333. He has a catalog. So these are source tools. There are other young researchers who are working on the case now. One is Jeff Hecker of A New Generation in Wisconsin, and I guess he hopes to have a book out, and I think there's going to be a lot of media attention focused on June the 5th and 6th, 1993.
Uh-huh. Well, let's see.
Actually, of course, you know, this is going to be an extraordinary expose by members of the research staff of the Assassination Archives and Research Center, Prevailing Winds Research, based on my work, and I intend, as I've indicated, potentially to hold a symposium in the Los Angeles area, and perhaps we can bring it to the San Francisco Bay Area too, on the relevant and important issues in the Robert Kennedy Sirhan case.
Let me ask a question that I may not know. Is Noguchi still around?
Oh, yes. Dr. Thomas Noguchi was the chief medical examiner here in Los Angeles. That is, the chief coroner for many, many years. He is working in the hospital here, and of course, he was the doctor that discovered that the wounds were at razor close range. As a matter of fact, the fatal wound was from behind, with deep, deep powder burns behind Bobby Kennedy's right ear, while Sirhan, Bashar Sirhan, the alleged assassin who was convicted and tried in Los Angeles, was firing from well in front, 4 to 6 feet. And in other words, Sirhan came from trace stacks in the kitchen pantry of the Ambassador Hotel. He approached Kennedy in front from 12 feet away. He was standing between 4 and 6 feet. His gun was stretched out in his hand, approximately 2 or 3 feet away from Kennedy, while the wounds are from down to up, I repeat, in the rear, behind Kennedy, you know, in a right-to-left position. Noguchi finds the deep powder burns, the close contact wounds, less than 1/2 inch, people. He'll give a tolerance between 1 and 3 inches, less than 1/2 inch, 1 inch, away from Kennedy, the fatal wound, consistent with the second gunman. And that's how I did my work. The conflict in the eyewitness account, consistent. They were consistent that they saw Sirhan in front. No one saw Kennedy and Sirhan at close contact range. In other words, Sirhan's gun was far away. But when Noguchi comes in with the autopsy report, this aroused my professional interest as an investigative reporter and documentarian, and other members of the media. In fact, Life magazine said much of the evidence against Sirhan was unclear. Life magazine at the time sponsored my investigation, but I have the privilege and the honor that I did something about it. The other people in radio, television, media here in California did not.
Right.
There was a conflict there, and it wasn't like one witness was saying this, Paul, another witness was saying that. All the witnesses were consistent in their testimony, and that's what got me interested. And then I began to evolve the second gun theory, which now is a fact because I got substantial evidence from Bill Hartburn, the famous criminalist in Pasadena, California, now deceased, and from Professor Herbert McDonald in New York.
Is Dr. Noguchi, are you still in contact with him?
Yes, through Attorney Godfrey Isaac, a personal friend of mine. Godfrey Isaac is a very distinguished attorney. He represented Dr. Noguchi, and he was the only one that would listen to my audio tapes, my 2 years of research, who really killed Bobby Kennedy, and weigh my facts and see my documentation, and decided to do something and took the first legal action. This is not in this Christian Turner cuckoo book or in this Melanson ripoff. You see, they try to rewrite history.
So is Godfrey Isaac exhausted the legal remedies?
Well, yes, because in 1975, based on my research and input from members of the legal and journalistic and forensic community, he worked very hard with the staff of attorneys to file a writ before the California State Supreme Court, and he was stopped there. Actually, he was stopped before by a notorious attorney for Sirhan called Luke McKissick, called Lunatic Luke, who wants to keep Sirhan as a martyr and keep him in prison. And Godfrey Isaac was going to go before the California State Supreme Court, Paul, and argue conclusively that we, the people, had convicted Sirhan with a gun that he never saw, owned, or used the night of the tragedy. And that is gun H-18602, destroyed by the police. And the gun that they allegedly took from Sirhan, a similar .22, was gun H-53725. So Isaac represented my probe independently, he represented Dr. Noguchi independently, and then I stepped back and was so pleased and elated that he was going to take on the Sirhan case, and I thought we'd get a new trial, but there were too many evil forces, and Kaiserism, this Robert Blair Kaiser did everything to destroy our credibility and the media, and Luke McKissick went to the Sirhan family, got young Munir, the youngest brother of Sirhan, to go to Sirhan and get Godfrey ousted from the case. This was a disaster, and then Mary Sirhan, the mother of Sirhan, through my friends in the media, the late Bill Stout of CBS Television here in Los Angeles, and Bill Farr, one of the respected reporters, and myself, we got Godfrey back in the case. It's a terrible, and it's a story I talk about in my lectures.
Why do you suppose there is no mass movement to reopen the case yet?
Well, there are many factors. One is the intense jealousy and the friction by plagiarists and people who have their own axe to grind, who divide the researchers, and the researchers can't get together, and so they don't have a definitive goal. That is one of the big reasons, because Paul Schrade, he wouldn't listen to me at the beginning, but in a press conference in 1992, twice, in two press conferences, he broke down And the press said, why are you doing this now, Mr. Schrade? Why are you trying to get it reopened? You're going over territory of Ted Chirac that he pioneered. And he had to admit, humbly, that I did come to him and I did try to get him involved, and he wouldn't get involved.
Do you work with him now?
No, he is working independently, and he seems to respect my work, and I appreciate that factor, but I differ with him because he wants to go over the same old California territory, you know, the grand jury. And that's not going to do anything. The grand jury is under the control of the district attorney's office, and the district attorney's office is going, that's the second phase of your question, is trying to protect their reputation in the Los Angeles Police Department of this cover-up, because this was one of the longest, costliest trials in Los Angeles history, and reputations were made on this. So the Schrade effort contains a lot of great work, but again, there is Melanchthonism, just like there was Kaiserism, and there's a lot of distortions, and there are a lot of things that are not meaningful. I work with Prevailing Winds Research of Santa Barbara, and I work with Jim Horwitz. We just filed a letter in recent months to the, the Los Angeles Police Department Commission, the Police Civil Commission, and we told them we need a federal inquiry on this entire case, and that the LAPD intelligence, one of their members who now wrote a book, admitted that LAPD intelligence knew there were extra bullets. So I will cooperate with any group, you know, that is sincere and has integrity and wants to work in a spirit of togetherness to get this job done successfully. Now, Jim Horwitz, he is an unsung hero. He filed action on my behalf. In fact, a researcher from the Bay Area, there was Tommy Thompson and the late Lillian Castellano. We tried that too. But, you know, the door is shut here locally. There's just too many power politics.
Could we open it with a mass movement?
Yes. I'm glad you mentioned that. That's why I sat down with Jim Horwitz, my good friend and the friend of everybody that's interested in truth, because he is an activist, he's a writer, and he puts out a newsletter, and he's put forth his time and his resources.
Is he in the
Bay? The idea of a symposium, maybe between Los Angeles and San Francisco, and get a movement going. And I'm sending a letter to President Bill Clinton on this entire issue of the Los Angeles cover-up and the necessity for independent crime labs, not only in Los Angeles and San Francisco and San Jose, but in every state in the union, the FBI, free from police cover-ups, free from police politics, free from police malfeasance, free from police corruption. In other words, an independent crime lab that if an accused man or woman, any defendant, then has the right to go to an independent crime lab, not controlled by the police, open to both the prosecution and defense. We better start with the FBI.
Right. Okay.
So again, let's get back to what you said, the Robert Kennedy 25th anniversary symposium. Let's get a movement to open up a presidential, not even a federal inquiry, but a presidential commission on this. And that is the direction I'm going, and I'm giving it to you, Paul, on your show exclusively. And I hope to get the cooperation of the Jim Horwitz Group, Prevailing Winds Research, and the Assassination Archives and Research.
Is Jim Horwitz in the San Francisco Bay Area?
Oh, no, he's in the Los Angeles area, and I'd be happy to give you his number. He wants cooperation from people like
Sure, what's
himself.
His number? I'll interview him, too.
Oh, yes. Well, now, his attorney on this was Horace Ruderman, R-U-D-E-R-M-A-N. But, of course, we've just talked in the initial stages now, and I met with a producer, and now I'm talking to you, with the idea of putting together the Robert Kennedy Symposium and bringing these issues to the forefront. I think that Patrick Fermi of Prevailing Winds Research, the one that has the catalog and cassettes and books and tapes, is in touch with Mr. Horwitz, but I'm just, here is his direct number at his business office, Jim Horwitz newsletter, and he has been a friend to the Bobby Kennedy probe, just like the late Lillian Castellano and Mae Brussels.
Good.
It's 818-906-7962. He likes the idea. He's familiar that I'm going to send a letter to President Clinton, asking for a presidential commission, but he likes the idea of a symposium, and maybe you can work together with what you plan.
Great. Yeah,
when you... fax number, too, by the way, Paul.
Sure.
818-784-3376. And if for anyone that wants to get in touch with me, of course, it's Ted Charac, Telecommunications Media Services, CHARACH, and that's at 213-964-2326. My fax number is 213-962-4595.
Okay, great.
You got those numbers, right?
Right, good. And, let's see. This is a real important movement. I hope to do what I can. When you write your letter to Clinton, could you send a copy and I'll read it over the air on the radio station?
All right. I might have been incorrect on that fax number. I was just thinking it might have been 213-962-4959. But at any rate, if you get in touch with me at 213-964-2326 or P.O. Box 396, 396 Beverly Hills, California, for your listeners, 90213, that might want the second gun tape. But since you're bringing it into the San Francisco area and the Bay Area and in bookstores, they can contact you through directly.
Right.
Right. And what were you just saying just now, Paul?
I was saying that, that one slipped my mind, but it'll come back in a minute.
I know it was, I guess it's in regards to the symposium. I've asked Jim Horowitz, maybe Baxter Ward, the former newsman supervisor, was involved in this crusade with me, and Garcia Isaac said he'd introduce me at the University of California in Santa Barbara under the auspices of Prevailing Winds Research.
Good.
And, maybe that's what you had in mind.
I have quite a few good contacts in the Bay Area, so we'll set up... when you come up, we'll try and do like three different events in three different days.
In the Bay Area, you have Lowell Bradford of San Jose, the famous criminalist that issued the Independent Crime Lab report, the necessity for independent crime labs. There's Professor Herb McDonald in Corning, New York, Dr. Robert Joling. They brought me to Chicago for the American Academy of Forensic Sciences. Someone is going to produce a big radio show for public radio, and they scheduled a radio interview with me too. So I think Life Magazine is going to put out a special issue on the 25th anniversary.
Good.
So, as a matter of fact, I announced to the media here that I, have established Operation Truth 25 for the 25th year.
Good.
So we can all work together, and as many people that could get involved with us, and journalists.
So this is the 20
filmmakers and lawyers, a potential new law students, fine and dandy.
This is the 25th anniversary of the Martin Luther King assassination, the Robert Kennedy, and the 30th anniversary of the JFK.
Right. So as you know, there's going to be extraordinary interest around the world in the American assassination syndrome on these anniversaries, and obviously I'm getting prepared. A lot of people have asked not only for the film, the video, the second gun, but my original suppressed tapes that I couldn't get out to Warner Brothers at that time, which were produced under the auspices of Frank Zappa's organization, Straight and Bizarre Records at the time. And Warner's was a distributor called Who Really Killed Bobby Kennedy. I just played them the other night, and I'm going to drop off a copy to Jim Horowitz, and he's going to be in touch with former Los Angeles crusading newsman and county supervisor at one time, Baxter Ward.
Okay. This
so,
has been...
I think Godfrey Isaac and Vincent Bugliosi, he has a great deal of respect for my work and wrote me beautiful letters, that Godfrey Isaac is now with a big law firm, but Vincent Bugliosi, I think they will all get involved with the concept for independent crime labs and exploring the forensic mess in the Robert Kennedy case.
Okay. Are you still in contact with Godfrey Isaac's...
Oh, yes. It's not it's Isaac, I-S-A-A-C. I was cooperated for a year with Tim Tate, the producer, on the RFK investigative report based on my work, and I gave him some exclusive footage under a contractual agreement. And so I am in touch with Mr. Isaac. As a matter of fact, He was delighted to hear that I've resumed the speaking tour for Operation Truth, Robert Francis Kennedy, and the 25th anniversary, and said he'd be delighted to introduce me at the University of California at Berkeley. And supposedly, of course, if you send him a nice type letter to his law office, I'm sure he'd be happy to come up to San Francisco when we stage, you know, a similar symposium and a special event under your auspices, Paul.
Great. Okay.
And we can get Californians and the American people involved in this vital issue. And then perhaps on the next broadcast, we can discuss the second gun controversy, the significance of the cover-up, the Thane Eugene Caesar, the right-wing guard at the time, the mystery of the polka-dot dress girl and the other accomplices, and
okay.
the cover-up. You
right.
might also want to
let me ask you
to contract on America.
Right.
Book.
Let me ask
Mafia
you.
Kingfish by John Davis.
Yeah. Let me ask you if you would please give your address again, so that if people want to contact you, your P.O. box.
Yes. If if they want to get the video directly from me, it's selling at $29.95. You know, and of course $35 handles shipping and handling. The video, the second gun, it's Ted Charac, CHARACH, Telecommunications Media Services. I'm the director, Post Office Box 396, P.O. Box 396, Beverly Hills, California, 90213. If they want the original audio tapes, I'm just getting them manufactured now for the 25th anniversary, they'll go for $15. That's with shipping and handling. And Prevailing Winds Research is authorized with a new catalog to release a lot of my material. As a matter of fact, I must tell you, Paul, I'm glad I just thought of it. I wrote two-part article on the Robert Kennedy case, which is very interesting and which is very informative and enlightening, called Robert Francis Kennedy Assassination, Why Sirhan Could Not Have Killed Bobby Kennedy. And this was with Nave International Press out of England and in the States. This has been buried, but I've given these articles and other useful audiovisual material to Prevailing Winds Research in Santa Barbara, because Patrick Fermi is doing a lot of good work, and I think you should talk to him and get his exact mailing address, and they could obtain these articles from Prevailing Winds Research, besides a great deal of tapes and cassettes.
Okay. I think we're at the end of the tape, and I thank you again very much, and really appreciate you contacting me, and we'll be in contact regularly.
Okay, and then we could do another interview down the line, you know, on the conspiracy and the cover-up. So let's see. You could tell Mr. Horowitz that you want to cooperate, Paul, with the symposium and see if you can make a joint, you know, something up in San Francisco, too.
Yes.
But at any rate, get it off the ground, plant the seeds. The thing is, see if you can get 2 or 3 days and see what you can work out with Prevailing Winds Research.
Will do.
And I appreciate hearing from you, and I hope you were pleased. I enjoyed talking.
Okay. I'll send you a copy of the program also.
Oh, you'll send me a copy?
Yes.
Okay. And fine. If you want those 20 tapes, so you'll just send me a check, and I'll make out the
right
deal, and we'll be in contact, and the best of luck.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Paul.
Bye-bye.